Hello and welcome back to the Living Life Podcast. This week, we are celebrating the launch of my new book, What is Real Happiness? A six-week journey through the Sermon on the Mount. This book is really special to me because the content is from the very first season of the Living Life Podcast. What's even more special is that today I get to interview my husband, Dr. Phyllis Shambo, a general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. He is a scholar, an author, a preacher, and just a wonderful husband and a great father. Phyllis, thank you for being with us today.
It's a joy to be here.
So first, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Philly, and I love preaching the word. I love my family. I was born in Mozambique, grew up in a pastoral home. Both my parents were pastors, so I've always been surrounded by preachers, and so maybe that has been a big part of my DNA.
Can you share with us what brings you joy these days, apart from being with your amazing wife?
Well, that's all that brings me joy, being with my wife. Travel the world, preach and teach the word of God with a great friend and the love of my life. It's a blessing. It brings me joy to see you doing what you love, which is preaching and teaching the word of God. That has been a passion of yours since your childhood, but since we met, that has been a big part of what really you desire to do. And seeing you thrive, and especially with this podcast, with focusing on discipleship and investing in people's lives, brings me a lot of joy. Seeing our kids, Khan and Emmanuel, just enjoy what they do, their studies, and listen to their dreams and be a part of conversation with them. It's different to parent young kids and adults and just be on a journey with them. So it really brings me joy to hear some of their dreams and see them fulfilled in some of their achievements.
Now we get to cheer on the sidelines. We can't be in the game anymore with them.
We can still be in the game. We're always in the game.
We're always in the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always in the game.
So you grew up in Mozambique. You lived for many years in South Africa. And now you live in the United States. So what do you see is the difference between how people seek happiness in these different cultures?
I think really most of it is defined by context in some ways. And the reason I say that is if you are growing up in a place where you are faced with war, poverty, and displacement, which in some ways was my context as a child and growing up, I think joy or happiness will come when you don't have to be thinking about where will I need to be this evening, or where will my meal come from, or can I afford this or that, or just, I think those small things, but even more maybe having just those peaceful moments when you don't have to be thinking about your safety. I think that kind of bring some joy, or people will define that as happiness, and being surrounded by the people you love. In some contexts, obviously, it might be defined by being able to afford the best car or best home, moving from maybe a house that does not offer enough space for the whole family, thinking South African context for different people, or even just thinking about the opportunity just to accomplish something great. I remember when I graduated from University of Johannesburg, that there was an older lady, she was in her late 60s, and she was getting her first degree, and she had desired to do that for several years,
wow.
But there was no opportunity for her to do that. But being able to do that, she didn't care that she was doing this with the younger kids, it just brought a lot of happiness to her family. And in some contexts, it might just mean someone offering you a ticket to go watch Chiefs game or just go watch Super Bowl.
Is that a hint?
No, there's no hint there. I'm just saying there are
many. I hear you,
the context of what brings you joy depends on, where you find yourself.
And so the idea that when you are in a struggle for survival, joy looks a lot different than when you are actually living a comfortable life. It really leads us into the idea of real happiness in the Sermon on the Mount. And so what do you see stands out for you in Jesus's discussion on what is real happiness in the Sermon on the Mount?
I believe what stands out in Jesus' teaching is that our happiness or our joy, it's really linked to our relationship with God. It cannot be apart from God, because that puts the center that regardless of the season or the context where you find yourself, your relationship with Christ is vital, because as a child of God and part of the kingdom of God, your joy derives from that relationship. It derives from who Christ is and knowing his work in your life and his presence all the time with you.
So I've heard you talk about the joy in the life of the church in Mozambique, but this was during the civil war, 17 years of civil war in Mozambique. And so can you tell us a bit about how you saw joy amongst the believers during this time of civil war?
I believe that while we were having those struggles, the challenges were real. The preachers and teachers of the Bible were doing a great job from our childhood, and I mean to all ages, but just remembering as a child, they were giving us a clear foundation of finding our joy in Christ and that fellowship that we have with one another as a people of God. So our relationship with God was vital, and being reminded that we are not forgotten. We are people who are loved by God. God loves us and cares for us. The things that we see around us do not define who we are and the future. They're actually a painful aspect of the human history when the humanity is far from God. But God is working all things right. God is working to make all things new, and we get to be a part of that. So you will see that joy in the church and in people as they people give testimonies, as they will lead the word of God. It wasn't like denying the fact that we are faced with challenges. It was that particular joy that regardless of what might happen to me, to my family today, or to the people around me, I can still say I am a child of God, and I can still represent that light of God, that God is making all things new.
Yeah. A special memory for me, when we lived in Mozambique, we served as pastors in Mozambique, was when the congregation would come and bring their offerings. Every Sunday, people would come up, they would put the collection plates up on the altar, and people would come up to the altar dancing and singing and rejoicing. And some people would bring goods that they planted, and some would bring money. And in a community that was, many people would describe a bit disadvantaged, people gave with such joy. And it was such an inspiration for me. It challenged my thinking about what makes you happy.
Yeah. So as you said, some will have money, but it was, stewardship is not only dependent on how much you have. What you have, you are steward of the resources God has given you, and you participate in giving for the advancement of God's kingdom. So you are right. So many people give the produces that sometimes then were sold or sometimes were given as part of compassion to other people. But whatever people had, they will bring with great joy.
Yeah,
I remember those great moments. And I believe it's still continuing, not only in Mozambique, in many parts of the world. That's how they give.
People have their hope and their joy in Christ and in the fellowship of the community. Mm-hmm. we expect people to be unhappy that are struggling to survive, yeah. but when you are actually with the people, you realize that's not always the case, because that's like the paradoxical message of the Sermon on the Mount. So you are in a very high level of leadership.
And I wouldn't say it's high. It's at the bottom of leadership.
It's at the bottom? Okay. Whether it's at the bottom or at the top, it is very demanding. It has a lot of challenges. Physically, mentally, emotionally. It carries a lot of responsibility and disappointments. So how do you find contentment and joy and peace as you lead?
Yeah, there are disappointments, there are challenges along the way, but there are also so many moments of joy and gratitude. It's humbling that the Lord and the church will call me into this assignment. But I believe that when I am tempted, which does happen at times, that I feel like, oh, this is just maybe too much and this is disappointing, or did I hear the Lord correctly? Am I on there at the right place? I think where the Lord always calls me back is to that relationship with God, because I have to be reminded that my contentment or my joy in this journey of serving the Lord, it also comes from my trust and obedience. Who do I trust and who do I obey? So in trusting the Lord in all things, in all seasons, even those moments that I feel like, Lord, maybe I should take control of this because I might know better how to do it, I've learned in life that I need to trust the Lord and follow God's voice and listen to His voice, because God still speaks. So the trusting the Lord that He is in all the details and all seasons, and also being obedient to the Lord, because there may be times that the Lord gives you a direction that you feel like, this is just probably not the way I will do it, and this is maybe not the way I want to say it, but you find that in obedience to God's ways, to His voice, and trusting the Lord, that brings you joy and contentment. It may not always be reflected immediately, because you don't always see it at the time, but you see it as you look back, or as you look into how things unfold, and you recognize that the Lord was involved in that. But also I find joy in being able to, it's humbling, but it gives me great joy to represent the church in different contexts, different nations, being able to experience worship with people in different languages, even when I don't speak the language, and just seeing the joy that people have in praising the Lord. That in itself brings
it. That is special.
That's special. Seeing people, young and old, still responding to God's call day, it's a great reminder that God is not done yet, and God continues to call women and men to preach the word and to lead the church. I can keep going on and on. There are just so many things that bring contentment in the assignment.
Even though there are challenges and it's not always easy, for the most part, it's filled with joy, because it's the Lord's work, it's His church, and you just get to participate in it.
Amen to that. Yeah.
So you've been a faithful listener of my podcast, I hope.
Mostly.
What, from this season, the first season, What is Real Happiness? What was your favorite episode?
Okay, let me say, mostly. I think I've listened to 95% of all the podcasts. Mm. The first thing I did, I have a routine in my devotional, but I incorporated some of the podcasts as part of my listening, and sometimes just as I travel. The first time I started listening was really just to support your work, but also to what is the Lord speaking to us through you. And so it's been a joy to be a part of that. But the one that I don't know if I would say I had a favorite, because I keep finding some that sometimes I will push into my own social media. But when you walked us just really from the very beginning, trying to define real happiness, because you had talked about real happiness, and I was trying to figure out where you are going with that. Mm-hmm. That reminder of how Jesus places all of those different aspects and you lay them out. And I still remember listening to how you walked us through righteousness, how you walked us through mercy, and thinking of the context where we find ourselves sometimes, where sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe I need to hold on more to the righteousness and not to being merciful. And just being reminded that all of those are part of who God is.
Yes.
God wants to transform us into his righteousness. He's a righteous God, and he makes right our lives. But at the same time, this God who makes us right is a God who's merciful. In fact, for him to make us right is because he has this mercy, sees the dignity that we have, and he wants to bring us into this relationship. So if we are to embody who God is and his work in our lives, we need to desire to grow in our relationship with Christ. We need to desire to see people's lives shaped in the likeness of Christ. But at the same time, we reflect God's heart by seeing the dignity of people, regardless of where they are. Yeah. Not watering down the truth, but being merciful and trying to hear the other side and understand people's stories as you journey with them. So that probably was my own interpretation of that episode, but there are many I like, and as part of that, I would say all of them were really great.
I also like the one on seeking righteousness and living out mercy. And it's something that God keeps reminding me to try and maintain a balance, because I'm a person that always wants things to be black and white, mm-hmm. but to realize that
really? Yeah.
Then sometimes you can balance wanting to see the right thing, but also making sure that the person that's involved is cared mm-hmm. for and loved and nurtured into a space of recovery. So what is God teaching you right now? And what encouragement would you leave with our listeners who are longing for real happiness?
What is God teaching me right now?
Yeah, and maybe, what encouragement would you leave with our listeners?
Well, I think today the Lord is teaching me to be patient. I think there are times that I get impatient as I work through different details or different issues of the life of the church. So the Lord teaches me to be patient, and the Lord teaches me to trust him. And I think if I was to leave something for all of us, is to go back to what I mentioned earlier, learning to trust and to obey, and being reminded that God still speaks today. Real happiness, in my view, it happens in a relationship. It doesn't happen just on the gifts and the special moments that we have. All of those moments bring happiness. Your marriage, your graduation, your achievements, they bring happiness in your life. But we should never miss this aspect that being brought into the relationship with Christ defines all of happiness, that the contentment and joy that we have. Because in that walk, in all these different things, that small things that bring the joy, they are part of that walk that we have with the Lord. And that helps us in moments when really it's difficult, tough moments, to be reminded that God has been faithful, and God is faithful, is with us. So learning to trust the Lord and learning to obey the Lord to the point that is no longer just, oh, what do I need to do? It becomes a virtue, because you have lived it. It has become a part of your life. It's not just something that you you're like, oh, I need to obey the Lord. It just becomes natural as part of your life because you have made it a vital part of who you are in Christ.
So real happiness comes from your relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. and you walk with Christ by trusting and obeying.
Yes.
That is what sustains your relationship.
That's my definition.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for spending your time and for listening to my podcast.
Sometimes, 95%.
95%. Well, I want to remind you again to get your copy of What is Real Happiness? A 6-week journey through Jesus' teachings from the Sermon on the Mount. You can find the link on my website, and you can use this for your personal Bible study or your woman's Bible study or your small group Bible study. I know it will be a blessing to you.
And men's Bible study.
And your men's Bible study.
A Bible study for everyone, not just for women. It's
everybody.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here today. And remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living love.